Okay, afternoon everybody. As this part of the slide says, my name is Steve, and as this part of the slide says, I'm a bit of a geek. If we've all turned up to the correct dev room, this is to talk about grammar. As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm English. Anyone else here from England? Welcome to Europe. Over the course of the next 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to be talking about this little random block of code that attempts to turn normal English into grammatically correct English. And I know the joke is that they know there's British English and there's wrong. That's not directed towards the Americans, that's just fact. So I'm going to be talking about the origins of this little project. It's all up on GitHub slides at the end. The problem I was trying to solve and the solutions that I adopted to solve that problem. And it will be focused on some of the earlier stuff, but I should probably do who am I? What have I done to deserve a place on this stage? Or as the slide should be called, the ego slide. This is where the speaker brags about themselves for 10 minutes while everyone else thinks, can I get to the other dev room I wanted to go to? Well, basically, I'm a geek. I've written some books. I write some music. Someone recognized me as a magician earlier. I was doing it on the main stage a couple of years ago. I did a magic show. Has anyone seen me do stuff at Fosden before? And you came back? You're braver than I thought. So I've done a whole load of crap. But the important thing is what's not on this slide. Yes, I've made games, but I'm not a translator. My English is awful. That's why I have editors to sort my books out for me. This is all about, well, if I can do this, anyone can. It should not be beyond the wit of human beings to do just decent language. So this project started in about 2018, 2017 with that thing, Alexa. I was at a JavaScript meeting, because JavaScript is the one true language, and no one's picked me up on that. Okay, that's a different crowd to normal. Normally I get lynched when I say that. So I was at a JavaScript meeting, and they were talking about Alexa, and how you could program Alexa with JavaScript. And I'm thinking, you can do this voice recognition thing with a language like JavaScript. It's kind of interesting. So I thought, okay, I'll get one, I'll mess around with it. I went to various meetups, I wrote a lot of Alexa skills, and I found this was really interesting. I could harness a very complex technology into some very, very simple JavaScript. I thought, I like that. And voice interfaces are a very interesting topic. Most of the time we have a screen with text on it. We can refer back to the text if we forget. With a voice interface, you can't. It plays. The voice ends, and you've got to remember everything that was said. I thought that was quite intriguing. So I started playing around with this. I wrote things that would tell you what day the bins are taken out. Everyone can remember what day they've got to take the bins out?
No.
Well, I don't need to either, because the person next to me, they take their bins out the day before, and I can see them. They are quite literally a binfluencer. Okay, never mind. So I thought, okay, I can do this JavaScript thing, and I'll do it as a service, because everything is as a service. You know, it's software as a service. You know, oh, crikey. Anyone actually like AI here? Am I allowed to harass about AI in this room?
Yes.
Good, okay. AI crap as a service. It's like, oh, crikey. Everything's as a service. So I thought, okay, great. I'll do this as a service thing. You make an API call. It fixes your grammar. It spits out the correct grammar. And this would do it in both English and as a speech thing. And that was an intentional choice, because speech is different to words, and there are a lot of subtle things in speech that we just don't generally acknowledge, and hopefully I'm going to come through some of them. And in 2025, that's last year, I know it feels like a lifetime ago, but it's only 30 odd days, and I thought, well, I'd written this thing for Alexa. Amazon said, hey, we really like this idea of this grammar as a service thing. We would like to promote you on our blog. Okay, are you paying me money? No, but we'll put a mention on our blog. No, I'm open sourcing it. If there's no money involved, it's open sourcing. So I open sourced the whole lot last year. It's been used in a number of things. I don't know whether it's useful to anyone else except me, because I get annoyed by a lot of bad grammary things. And that's someone who's not very good at English themselves. You know, my second language is drunkenese. You know, things like says you have one email open bracket S. Isn't that just lazy? That should not be a thing. You pick up a axe. It's an axe. Look at it. Is it, you know, are we looking at a vowel here? Is this a vowel sound? And again, I mentioned it comes from Alexa, comes from voice interfaces. What's this word, by the way? What's this? Oh, now you know there's a trick, don't you? Yeah, that's not AI. That's a three-toed sloth. It's a perfectly valid word in Scrabble. You can get up to 35 points with that word, but it's not AI. And if you throw that into a speech synthesizer, it gets it wrong every time. So you need some way of actually fixing just normal plain text when it goes out to the other end. What do you think happens when you feed this thing in? It is 3:05. No, it's not 3:00, it's 30. That's how we say. We say 30, we don't say 3:00. So when it comes out of a speech thing, that feels very wrong. As does Angela Merkel. Doesn't it great when it says Angela? That is Angela, but it's not, it's Angela. So you've got to fix it. And oh, this is, I always like this one. It's Polish or Polish? Maybe as a writer, I've just got sloppy and I haven't capitalized it. What is the correct form there? You've got to get it, and you know, and as a language poll, what language is this? It's not C sharp, it's C hash. Just the natural way it gets processed to C hash. But that's okay. I mean, you know, everyone that programs in this language is, you know, they all wear glasses because they can't see sharp. Are you kicking me off the stage already?
I'm going to annoy you with my question. Is it not C Octothorpe?
Okay, it's one of those, is it? So there's a lot of cases where just the text doesn't quite convey all the information that it should convey. So I thought, well, either we can, we can teach everyone to write AI this way, or we could kind of fix things. Because there's a book called The Chicago Manual of Style. And obviously, when I say style, I don't mean dress style. You can tell clearly I've not read a book on style. But the shirt is good. You like the shirt?
Yes.
Yes. If my wife is watching, see, they like the shirt. Style in this sense means how do you write proper like. You know, if you have a number, if it's below 10, you will actually write out the word for the number. If it's above 10, you write it out in digits. These very simple things is apparently quite hard. And I'm kind of a moderately native speaker of English, but it is still very difficult to make sure you get all the things right. So let's pass that off to a computer. And by a computer, I do not mean AI. What is the point of spending $14 billion a year on AI when you can just write 12 lines of JavaScript and do the same thing? So the solutions are basically, don't create the problem in the first place. This means everyone that writes code needs to be fluent in both a programming language and in English. That's going to be expensive. That's going to be time difficult. So that's going to be a tricky thing. We could fix it manually. We could have a bunch of people just going through all the code, checking for all the grammar. Again, expensive, not going to happen. We could ignore the problem. Most people ignore the problem. Every now and again, you'll see another piece of software. I'm going, oh, no, not another one. They've just ignored it. My attempt is, can we kind of find some way to automate this so that it doesn't just grind your gears? So these are the types of things which the library automates. So it will look for numbers. And if there are numbers which is a plural number, it will make sure there's an S on the end. And this has been written primarily for English, but it's been structured in such a way that any other language can just be plugged in. You write a little function that says, is this number a plural? Yes, no, Boolean, true, false. At the end of the day, it will then fix it. Fractions. If you write 1/2, the screen will say 1/2. It won't say a half. But we'd always say 1/2. So it will fix that sort of things. Symbols, indefinite articles, the A's and the ands, and certainly pronunciation is certainly coerced into this as well when it could be ambiguous. So what did he do? Well, it's JavaScript. You bring in the library, you say, fix it, throw in the text, make reference that there's going to be a number there, and it will just do the work. These are the different options. You don't have to put every option in there. You say, well, I want the style formatting, I want the plurals, but don't do the word number thing. You know, the ones where number is less than 10, you write it out in full. Sometimes that's not always what you want, so everything is switch on offable, which can be fun. And then it looks like this. Yes, it wraps around a bit, but all the code does is brings in a sentence, splits it up, looks at every single thing in there, and goes, okay, I'm going to process every single word in this sentence. I'm going to fix it up. And it's done in this way so that you can add additional processes. So if your language is not English and it has things which are not one of these five, it just sorts it out for you. So I'm using a number of other people's libraries because I'm far too lazy to write my own. The pluralized library is really handy. You know the plural of sheep? It's sheep. The plural of person is people. This is not stick an S on the end. English has been such an annoying language that everything has got an exception somewhere. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that gets annoyed by that. So there are other libraries, luckily, out there that do this stuff. There's libraries that convert digits into actual numbers, spoken words, numbers into words. Words that actually have silent H's that then change the way it's an hour or a honest, no, an honest person. Which I think I'm roughly almost getting now. And all the initialisms. All of this stuff. A normal speech synthesizer thing is just going to look at that and go A, C, or ACK, or ADD. It's probably not going to do what you mean it to. And the fun one of all the capitalisms. These words change their meaning whether this is a capital or not. So in lowercase, it's august. A capital A is August. Completely different word. Polish we did earlier, Polish and Polish, and Job and Job. Again, these, you know, I had to copy these from Wikipedia. I'm not that smart. These are the sort of things that you just have to worry about, particularly with voice interfaces. And if you're thinking, well, I'm never going to do a voice interface thing ever in my life, it's like, well, why not? At some point, we'll have people who just can't read the screen. I'm now getting to that age where I can't see the screen as well as I used to when I was a younger person. I was going to say a young person. I don't think I've ever been young in my life. I was born old. But I'm getting to the point, it's like, I need these helping. I need the device to say things to me if I can't read the screen. So at some point, screen readers are going to become much more prevalent, especially as our generation of people get older and we suddenly realize, damn, I actually do need screen readers now. So these sort of things are going to become, I think, more prominent. So as an example, what is that? That's a FUB agent. Because, I mean, how many, I'm not going to test anybody. There's no quiz at the end of this. The quiz was last night. Was anyone there for the quiz last night? No? Oh, you should have been there. It was brilliant. We gave out free beer to everyone. You missed it. Sorry. It was me again, yeah. So there were about four problems with that sentence. And if you throw it into the library, it fixes it. That's the correct output. It's not A, it's an, because it's F, and that's a vowel sound. It's a capital A, and it has to have a full stop at the end. An FBI agent. And this is the SSML, which is the speech version of it. So it'll actually spell out FBI. This stuff is really quite handy. And look at Teach Me. This is either the most useful thing in the library or the most pretentious. I put a bit in the library that mansplains to you where you went wrong. FBI is an initialism, not an acronym. Initialism, there's a difference. And should be written with dots like this. And it uses the example in the output as well. So it kind of handles itself as a teaching tool for everyone else. And it gives it in text, standard plain HTML, along with the SSML. So that's all good. One fairly nice example. The next steps on this, I truly don't know. I wrote this stuff because I liked it. I needed it when I was doing Alexa stuff. I needed the library. Well, now I don't do Alexa stuff anymore. Do I still need the library? I don't know. I think it's an interesting problem. I think it's a worthwhile problem to look at. So I'm here to sort of say, look, is this fun? Is this interesting? Is this even useful? If not, yeah, we had a nice time. So if it's useful, it's great. If not, fine. There's a number of to-dos in the code. When I wrote this, because it wasn't written as open source, Some of the code is a bit crap. When I open sourced this, I suddenly realized that I'd spelt the word sentence incorrectly. You know how bad it is when you're writing a piece of software that does language and grammar correction and you've misspelt the most used word in your product? So I had to fix the spelling of sentence and a few other things. There's a few other bits there. It's only JavaScript because it was written as a service, but there's no reason why you can't just copy and paste this stuff and just change a few bits and make it work elsewhere. And of course, there's Job's job. Is anyone aware of this? Oh, this is either going to really entertain you or bore you senseless. This is from Richard Lederer's Word Circus. I don't know if anyone's ever read this, probably not. But in August, an August patriarch was reading an ad in Reading, Massachusetts. Long-suffering Job secured a job to polish piles of Polish brass. You try getting a machine to correctly read that. I would like to be able to have libraries that could take that and go, oh yeah, I know what to do with that. And don't say AI is the solution. AI is never the solution. I think nice, confined pieces of code that just do one job, the proper Unix way, might actually help. So I would like to be able to get that read perfectly. And the code almost gets it right. Without doing any special work, it gets most of that right. Because it understands the initialism, Polish, and Job, and Job, and reading versus reading. That one, that's really good fun. Because I'm from England, there is a town called Reading not far from me. And I love just going there and just saying, well, you know, you people, there's a very sharp decline in the standard of Reading. Okay, for the three people, it was worth it. So my conclusions is, grammar is actually really quite hard. When you look at what's going on underneath the language, there are problems there. So it's not surprising we just kind of forget about it and we push it and we just say, oh, someone will fix it later. The translators will fix it later. It's like, no, let's see if we can fix it now. Let's get it right. It's definitely harder with dynamic content. Any time there's dynamic content in there, game over. You've got to start thinking about this. And it's not just about the code. It's about the language underneath it. I try and think voice first. I like the idea the computer is talking to me. The voice is what's coming to me, not the text. So think, okay, is there a way of misunderstanding what's being said here on screen? And could we get this to other languages? You know, I am very fully British. I speak literally almost no other languages. My French is bad. My German is bad. My Japanese is awful. So I am very much the stereotypical English guy. So I would love to see this in other languages. And there's no reason why not. It's built in such a way that it can be ported. So with that in mind, I can do any questions that anyone has. I will update my scorecard. There we go. 30th talk I've given at this conference. Over 26 years. Oh, boy, and does it show. But otherwise, that's all from me. I can take questions. Thank you. Good night.
The
FBI one?
Yeah. On the end of teach me, there is FBI. On the first teach me...
Oh, yes, there. Okay. Okay, submit a PR. We'll fix it in the next version.
Okay, this was stupid. Now the real question. Sorry.
Okay, so real question. Comment first, then the question that that the context leads to. I work with non-Anglophone people writing Anglophone comments in code. How extensive could this grammar as a service solution be made to correct languages made by non-native speakers? Because I see there are a series of corrections, but I don't know how many corrections you could make.
Yeah, there's no reason that, you know, depending on your... So the question is about... See what I did there? So the question is about coders who are non-native speakers and how they could fix it while they're coding. And the answer is, well, why not? There's no reason you couldn't have this service running either on your local machine. It's very, very lightweight. It's JavaScript, a couple of hundred lines. you can just have that running and your editor can just say, okay, here's the code. What do you think of it? And then it can throw back a fixed grammar version for you while you're still there. It's something you'd have to set up, but there's no reason why it couldn't. You know, it was built to be an API, so yes, go for it. You had a question, I think you as well, and there's another one on here.
A real one.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
There's a thing we have in WebLite called intermediate language. It's usually used that you have a lot of, mostly all of the software is written in English, no matter that nobody is English native, and even English natives, even British people are messing the grammar, as you know.
Yeah.
So mostly it's used as developer English, meaning that you have, before you let translators or machines to do the translation, you use intermediate developer English. So you as a writer of the code can do something that's fairly understandable. Then that's translated by reviewers to English. That's used for as a source for all the translations. Mm-hmm. Our WebLite has plenty of machine translation engines integrated to do machine translation in general, but probably this could be very specific and we should talk to each other, because do you think that you would like to modify this a little bit to be a provider as for machine translation from English to good English for other services?
Why not? So the question is, use this elsewhere, and the answer is, why not? You know, I don't know what the solution is here. You know, as I don't think English is the one true language, but unfortunately it has become the de facto language of the planet. So if we can at least use decent English wherever it's being used, then yeah, I'll hack, change, and mess around with this as much as necessary to get good stuff out there. So, you know, let's face it, I'm unemployable, so I've got nothing else to do this week. So let's see what's wrong and we'll fix it.
You have forgotten one thing, the orders of words in a sentence. Because you have forgotten one thing. But a German of Dutch people translating literally is you have one thing forgotten. So you have conversely, and Chinese is more not completely conversely, inversely all the words in a sentence.
Yeah, German is time, manner, place, isn't it? And order, and you've got to get that right. Mm. Yeah, I remember that from my school days. So you had a question still.
Yeah. You were talking about screen readers and how, you can't necessarily go back and read something because it's voice. So, I don't really know the tech kind of like sort of screen readers, but does a service sort of break up longer sentences
So does the library break up the sentence? Not really. It takes the whole thing in, looks at everything, tries to apply some context to that sentence, and goes, okay, I'm now changing the whole thing. So it wouldn't currently be a lot of use in a live translation environment, but it could be used if you said, well, let's just look at the next comma, pass that to the library, get that to fix it, and then do the next bit. So it is hackable in that way. And when you've got that sort of library, it's up to you what you feed it. So you could just say, well, I'll give you the 10 words I've got, and then maybe it will make something good out of it. Yeah, something actually I forgot. I was giving a talk about Eliza, the AI chatbot Eliza, just prior to this. And I forgot to mention that Eliza, have everyone heard of Eliza, the AI chatbot from 60 years ago? Yeah. Well, that doesn't process the whole sentence. It stops at the first comma or the first word but, and it just does the bit before and ignores the rest of it. It's like when you send an email to your boss and they only answer the first question on your list. That's what it does. So you could adopt that mechanism and just say, well, I'm just going to look for a comma, send that off, get that fixed. That could be a solution. I saw another hand wave. Yes.
English, like written English is correct, but I want to understand how you would handle the loan words, which English uses, like English is not like consolidated to UK England now, and there are a lot of loan words like we understand like escrow, fatwa, and all that, which are used in English and which are kind of used in legal terms also these days. How would you handle those?
So the library does have some loan words in it. So the idea of how do we handle loan words, they are quite literally hard-coded in there. They're saying these are the ones you need to pay special attention to. But it's not complete. So hopefully over time that will grow. Maybe it's a case of splitting out the library. So we have one library that says, okay, I'm going to do all the numbers to words calculation. I'm going to do all the pluralization. This library will do loan words. Maybe that's the way it goes. Maybe this project just has to go away so that the other libraries take care of the big bulk of loan words. Because as you say, English is quite literally all loan words. I don't know how many words in English are actually English words anymore. You know, not to misquote George W. Bush, but the French have no word for entrepreneur, that kind of thing. We have literally stolen everything. That's why the British Museum has got some really good Elgin marbles in it. Okay, I'm not being allowed back in the British Library, am I? Okay, any other questions? I know I've got about 2 minutes left, according to my timekeeper at the front. No? Well, in which case, thank you all again. Good night.